Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Here at WBOC Radio, we are committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism, and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. If you're listening on the radio and you'd like to watch live the live stream, you can join in on the conversation at wbocradio.org and click on Get Started. You can also join me on Facebook right now at wbocradio.org, where I'm currently streaming live as well. And I want you to know that I am here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. I'm here to minister to you. Again, my name is Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me here at WBOC Radio, you can call 515-602-9613 live during the show or leave a message at 931-563-3377. You can also email me at talk@wbocradio.org with questions you'd like answered on the broadcast or topics you'd like for me to address. You can also write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. All right, I'm going to stop for just a second, make sure that the stream is up and going. Just a second. I see that we're up on YouTube, but again, Facebook always gives me a hard time. So reason it just never opens up properly. It's very irritating. And it looks like we are live, okay? All right, so good. I'm sorry about that. It's just that it never pops up all the time when it's supposed to, and I want to make sure that nobody misses any part of the broadcast. All right, so going back to the website, we've added a donation page to the top of the website bar if you'd like to support Bride of Christ Ministries. You can also read my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org. So please let me know that you support the Bride of Christ by going on Facebook and YouTube and following my page. You can also follow me on Instagram or Twitter at WBOC Radio. For those of you who are watching the live feed now, thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to call into the broadcast today with questions or comments, the number is 515-602-9613, and I'll stop and take your calls today periodically throughout the show instead of just during the break, so it gives you time to call in. If you do call in right now, please just stay on hold for a while. It may be a moment that you stay in the queue, but you could listen to the broadcast as you're while you're in the queue, and you can also just turn that down whenever I answer your call. Just turn the background down, and we'll go from there. All right, so you don't want to miss today's episode, so stay tuned into the broadcast. We're going to continue teaching from Mystery of the Ketubah, and we've moved to Part 2, Chapter 7, as of yesterday when we went into the Servant Covenant. Today we're going to talk about the Friendship Covenant, so make sure you follow the broadcast on Facebook and YouTube so you'll be updated when I'm about to go live on the air. Also, the website, if you go to wbocradio.org, it's got updated information on each broadcast along with studies and the blogs to follow along. So simply go to wbocradio.org and click on the blog link. Feel free to ask questions or leave comments, and I'll respond to as many as I can. There are many more resources for you to access on the website as well, and I'm adding to the website daily, so check out the website at wbocradio.org. Don't forget to sign up for our updates. I'll keep you up to date once in a while on what's going on. And if there's anything important you may need to be aware of that may affect you as a Christian, as well as just being able to keep us together and keep us in one voice when there's times or things that we need to pray, that this website, and if you sign up, I'll be able to send out these emails, but it's going to allow us to connect and stay together in one accord and a unified voice in one body like the bride should be, because we are one body. I'll also keep you up to date on Israel on the Street. The next trip is September 2019. So for more information, visit our website and click on the fellowship tab at the top. This is my next scheduled trip to Israel with a group, and you'll get to enjoy Israel up close and personal, learn about the culture, and meet the people while still visiting the holy sites. Also, during this trip, we'll be doing all live interviews on the streets of Israel, and we'll talk to the people, enjoy the food, and experience Israel with a group. And you won't want to miss this trip. I'm going to interview you as well. I want to hear about all the issues that you may have been thinking, or the preconceived ideas that you had in your head before you left for Israel, but you took a leap of faith and you stepped out to go on a trip, especially this specific trip. And I want to get your live feedback and your interpretation of what you're experiencing while being in Israel at that moment. All right, I'll be leaving at the end of February, which is this month, for Israel by myself. So I'll be out of the studio and streaming a few live segments as well as recording for the broadcast while I'm there. And I'm going to be recording from the top of Mount Scopus at night for about an hour so that I could give that experience to you. And you could see what it's like to see from, you know, Mount Scopus is going to show the Mount of Olives and the Holy City. And it's the Valley of Kidron. It's just gorgeous. And I'm going to videotape as well the Holy City from the Mount of Olives. I'm also going to be sharing with you the view of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and we'll see what happens when I get to Haifa, because I want to experience that as well. I've not been before. I've always had other things on my agenda rather than sightseeing, and so I've never been there, and I'm going to go spend a few days videotaping from there as well so that you'll get to see all these wonderful things that you're going to get to experience in September. And I'm going to share them with you as well in September. I want you, the viewers, who can't afford to take a trip to Israel. Matter of fact, this is the most affordable trip you're ever going to get to take to Israel and still have a tour guide, because you're not paying me. I'm paying for my own trip. And I know that if you're a tour guide and you're out there for the money, it's not about that. For me, this is about getting to take my viewers with me and broadcast live from Israel and share their experiences with you. I'm so excited. Again, if you want to be part of the broadcast today, or you just have questions you'd like answered, give me a call at 515-602-9613. Or if you're watching my live feed, then type in your questions in the comment sections and tell me your name, what country you live in, and the type of type your question in at the bottom. I'll try to answer as many as I can live on the air. I am going to make sure that I'm in an area that I can actually see your feedback right now, okay, because right now I don't see, okay, I could see your comments now. It's running live. Now, can you hear me? Oh, my word. All of that. And you couldn't hear the broadcast. Nothing's been up and going. I can see now. You should be able to hear me. I am so sorry for that. So you've just missed half the broadcast this morning, and the microphone has been muted. So thank you very much for letting me know that. That really stinks. And I was really on a roll there, too, and you didn't even get to see it. And it's not been recorded. So here we are. Thank you, Aunt Patty. Thank you, Crystal, for letting me know. Lisa, everybody that's watching, I'm so sorry. All right, so what I was talking about is the trip to Israel and what we're doing this time. And so I'm going to have to go back and edit this video, but I'm definitely not going to go back and go over all this information that I just shared with you. I feel very silly today. So there you go. Anyway, we have our moments. I think, you know, today's a very special day. I'm a little off, so I think I'm going to have a little sip of decaf. I haven't been drinking any coffee. I think I need it today. All right, so we've gone back to the beginning of the Garden of Eden, and we've demonstrated, everybody's laughing at me, and we've demonstrated God's love and forgiveness and plan for mankind. We've also walked through the ancient Jewish wedding traditions, which brought us to the parables of marriage Jesus spoke of when associating with his culture when he was teaching us. I demonstrated the importance of the bride price that was received by Judas and how the Levites represented God while Judas represented the unfaithful bride. If there's any part of this that you've missed at all, then please go back and watch the from February 21st is when I started this teaching. I want you to go back and watch any of the videos that you've missed there. And yesterday, I began the teaching on the covenants, and you learned what it means to truly walk in the servant covenant. And today we're going to continue with the friendship covenant. So maybe what I could do is go back and splice some of this information from previous segments and put it at the beginning of this broadcast. So you won't miss the opening. I'm sure everybody's so heartbroken that they didn't get to hear me repeat myself for the 100th time with the opening of this broadcast. But, you know, there are new people coming in every day. I thank you for tolerating me and listening to this over and over again, some of the stuff that I repeat. But it's because I want these people that are coming in and the increase that God's given me, I want them to be able to access this information as well. So we're going to build upon the servant covenant today. But something that I did iterate this yesterday, that the servant covenant, which is the blood covenant, it is a covenant of love because Christ laid his life down for us. And through his blood, it washed away our sins. And he would have never done that. I said before I say this, backing up, we can never truly walk in a servant covenant if we are not walking in love. So that servant covenant is a covenant of love. You have to have love, like Christ had for us, to lay his life down for us. You have to have love before you can serve the Lord unconditionally. And you have to have love before this can become a covenant of servant through the blood that he shed without making it a covenant of works. Because when we hear the word servant, we think of works. But the truth is, we should really think about love. So this is not about works, it's about love. But today, I'm going to use the very first example about Mary and Martha. So Jesus said, well, first of all, let me explain. Martha was complaining because she was doing all the work in the house by herself, while Mary, her sister, was just laid back at Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say. Now, I talked about this yesterday, but it still applies today with the friendship covenant. And so it says, Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, Luke 10:42. And that good part was serving Christ by sitting at his feet and listening to him. As a servant, you know, he spoke to them in parables, but as a friend, he told them the hidden mysteries only he and his father knew. When they were sitting there in Lazarus' house with his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they were his friends. He called Lazarus a friend. You know, they were friends, and he was sharing with them the plans of God. This is so amazing. I absolutely love this teaching. Here's the point. If we cannot sit at the feet of Jesus and listen as a servant, then we cannot hear what he wants to say to us as a friend. He's not even able to speak to us, you know, as a friend until we're able to listen to his voice as a servant. The friendship covenant was taken very seriously when they sat down at that wedding supper and they decided to go through the different cups. You know, when everything was, when everything was being negotiated at that table, what was happening is they were going deep into each covenant that these two would enter into, that the families would enter into, that the fathers would enter into. So as a servant covenant, as I spoke about yesterday, that servant covenant was everybody entering in. It was the bride serving the bride, you know, the bride's family and the groom. It was all of us doing the work of the Father. It was serving each other. And that has to be established in love. So being established in love, we can enter into a friendship. And what a glorious place to be when we're actually walking in it. You know, when we can actually walk in these covenants and set everything aside. This church that I visited here a couple weeks ago, I felt that there. They didn't even know me when I went in to speak to them. And I could just feel the love that these people had. And it was just such an amazing time of fellowship, a time to worship the Lord together in one accord. It was a place of refreshing. And so when they entered into this covenant, but let me just explain a little tradition really quick so you understand why this friendship covenant is also called the salt covenant. When they entered into a friendship in Israel, they would carry a pouch of salt around their waist or around their neck. And they would take this salt and they would separate it out each of their, when two people were going to enter into a friendship covenant, two people, when they would enter into this covenant, they would take the salt out of their pouches. Man, there's all kinds of stuff going on today. Just ignore all the little glitches, okay? I'm still here. I promise. I'm here. So when two people would enter into that friendship covenant, they would take the salt out of their bags and they would put them in a pouch and they would mix or take it out of their pouches. They would put it in a bowl and they would mix the salt together. They would take some challah bread. That's the braided, the Jewish bread that we see. And they would take that bread and they would place it in the bowl and they would dip it and they would eat it. They would then take that salt, they would put it back in their pouches and it would be mixed together from that bowl. Their friendship could never be broken because that salt could never be separated. So you can't separate the salt. You can't separate the friendship. They're bound to each other. You know, you see people cut their hands and they're called blood brothers. No, this is something even deeper than that, because it's established on the servant covenant as well, which is love. And that is the blood covenant. But we're looking at the salt covenant, and it's much deeper than you think, because even God entered into the salt covenant. The covenant, when God negotiated the ketubah with Israel at Mount Sinai, they also entered into the salt covenant. He said every meat offering, according to the law of the ketubah, had to be offered with salt, which was renewed daily. And this is what Numbers 18 and 19 says. It says, it is a covenant of salt forever, before the Lord and to thee and to thy seed with thee. Isn't this amazing when you actually know the Jewish traditions and the things surrounding, you know, their culture and the things that Jesus spoke of? The word of God just opens up to us. Things that we never even saw before become so apparent. Who was to ever say it is a salt covenant? What did that mean to us when we read it? Okay, a salt covenant, it's just a covenant. We never really dug in to see what that meant. We didn't dig deep enough down into the Jewish culture, which is what we're actually studying. It's what we live by. It's the word of God. It came from the Jewish people, and he established this covenant in them. Therefore, our Christian roots are established in Judaism. Pay attention. So this covenant alone should dispel any belief in replacement theology, because that covenant of salt could never be broken. The old ketubah with Israel was never torn up. The old covenant, the law, it was never torn up. It was only fulfilled with Christ when he redeemed them. He became the ultimate sacrifice, and atonement no longer needed to be made. So once they were redeemed, the new marriage covenant, the Berit Chadash, entered into with Israel, it was perfected. So what they entered into, that new covenant, it perfected the old covenant. All right, so it fulfilled the old covenant, and it did not nullify the friendship covenant made between God and Father and Israel, God the Father and Israel. So when God gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever, he entered into the salt covenant as well. Listen to 2 Chronicles 13 and 5. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? I'm quoting this verbatim, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. We never even noticed the salt covenant. We never even realized exactly what was going on, and what was happening. And they were entering into a friendship that can never be broken because it was entered into with salt. Now, this covenant has not been broken. According to the Talmud, both the Babylonian and the Jerusalem Talmud, to be considered an ancestral Jew, one must have a Jewish mother, right? Just to clarify, the Talmud is the body of Jewish civil and ceremonial law, which comprises the Mishnah and the Gemara. So Jesus was not just the son of God. His mother, Mary, was a descendant of David. So God even chose Joseph from a descendant of David to be his earthly father so that there'd be no question of his lineage, either physically or legally, which is why you're going to see the two lineages given in the Word of God for Jesus, because one was through Mary and one was through Joseph. Even though Joseph wasn't his biological father, he was his earthly father, and he had to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfilled every obligation written in the Ketubah at Mount Sinai. Jesus not only finished it at the cross, he entered into a more perfect covenant forever. So he did fulfill the old covenant. Now let's go back to the supper table, you know, at the Last Supper, where we see, you know, the first cup has been agreed upon and the food's now being served. So the marriage negotiations are underway and the next cup's being poured. They entered into the servant covenant and now they're entering into the friendship covenant. And although the rest of the family agreed to serve one another, they're not required to be friends. Now, the challah bread is broken and dipped into the salt from the father's pouches, and they represented the family. So the bride and the groom eat this bread as well, which will later be renewed during the marriage ceremony under the upa. So the salt's placed back in the father's pouches, and the friendship is solidified as they drink from the cup. So the people who drink from the cup at that supper while they're negotiating the ketubah is the bride and the groom and the fathers. They agree to be friends. And of course, obviously, the couple themselves are entering into this covenant. So every friendship requires giving and receiving. Let's just take a moment to reflect upon our relationship with Christ. So here we are. It's a give and it's a take. It's based on trust, on faithfulness. We can't expect to always be the one taking and never giving anything in return. This is by definition, you know, no longer be a friendship. So when we're praying, you know, we have to ask ourselves, are we always praying and asking for things? Or are we just worshiping the Lord? Do we ever take the time to give him glory when we're on top of the mountain and curse him when we find ourselves in the valley? Are we blaming this on God because he didn't do everything he said? But where were we? Are we always just asking and asking? Sometimes the things that we need answered would all be answered if we would just take the time to worship him, to just be in a state of fellowship with the Lord, just to bring him glory, just to bask in his presence. Have you ever been in that place where you're not asking for anything? You know, you just are laying there and being in the presence of God. You know, Jesus is the proverbial friend who sticks closer than a brother. He tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And his word has always been infallible. So the only variable in this relationship is the bride, right? She's the only fickle inconsistency which can be manipulated in this relationship. The Holy Spirit cannot be manipulated. The Father cannot be manipulated. The Son cannot be manipulated. The only person that can be manipulated in this relationship is the bride. All the intimate details that the Father has shared with Jesus, he wants to share it with us. You know, this is the difference between friendship and service. It includes being in agreement, having an understanding and affection, being in one accord. You know, as a bride, when we enter into a friendship covenant with Christ, we should be able to hear what he's saying to us. Not only did he send the Holy Spirit of God to communicate all these things to us, but he now dwells with us and he's in us. So Jesus told us when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll not speak of himself, but he'll guide us into all truth. And he'll share with us all that Jesus has given to him through the Holy Spirit. So he's dwelling in us. He's sharing these things with us that Christ has. That's entering into that friendship covenant, being able to hear him, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He wants to encourage us, give us direction, and teach us. And if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to hear anything Jesus wanted to say to us. Listen to John 16, 12 through 14. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not condemning you if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. What I'm trying to say is it is available. That you may have stepped into that servant covenant and you have received salvation and you have received what Christ has for you. But he has so much more that he wants to give you. He wants to draw you into a deeper covenant with him, into a deeper relationship. He wants you to grow in him. we could serve him all day long, and we could be a good Christian, and we could go to church, and we can show up every Sunday. We could, you know, even minister to others. But if he truly, you know, if we're seeking after him, if we're truly pressing in and seeking after a deeper relationship, we're going to enter into that friendship covenant, and he's going to call you a friend. He wants to give this to you. He wants to reveal these things to you that the Father's given him. You know, Jesus today, he's still speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. He does minister to us, and he does use us to minister to others through the Holy Spirit. All right, so we operate it in the gift of the Spirit through the Spirit. So we're encouraged, comforted, and yes, even corrected by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. One time, and when I say this, when I say correction, when I say he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, let me also explain that in that correction, it's a time of growing. To enter into that friendship covenant, it's a time of obedience. And it's still that time that we have to walk in, even after we enter into these covenants, we still have to walk during the kedushin, that sanctified set apart side, the irushin, which is the betrothal. And it's the time before the marriage. We're still in that space that I talked about last week. We're still waiting to step into that marriage covenant. And right now, as we speak, when we enter into the friendship covenant, there's all types of things that he has to work out of us. I'm going to explain to you, which is, you know, it's sad that when we get into this place, you know, we feel like we're too concerned about ourselves sometimes to step out in faith and believe that God wants to do a work in us and to use us for others, because we're too concerned about ourselves. Sometimes we just stay in that own little bubble, especially if we've just entered into the servant covenant and we feel like we're safe and secure, we're happy, we have joy. You just got this new job. And, you know, it's that feeling of safety and peace and joy. And that's what that servant covenant gives us. But as we become restless and uneasy, as he begins to press us, it's because we just want to stay back there in that comfort place. So I'm going to explain to you, based on my own experiences and the things that I've had to go through and my own disobedience. So here's a story. At the beginning, when the Lord started pressing me and pushing me out, and I've told this story before, but please bear with me. There's people that haven't heard it. That when he called me out and he was asking me to do things in the church, it was so uncomfortable for me because I didn't want people to look at me like I was crazy and try to think that I was elevating myself above other people in the church, especially being a new Christian. But, you know, the Holy Spirit dwelled in me, and he can speak to anybody, even a brand new Christian who was just baptized in the Holy Spirit. I would not despise their youth. Trust me on this. I don't care if you've been in the church 40 years. If you're only a servant, and you're not walking in that friendship covenant, or if you're a friend but you haven't walked in the inheritance covenant, it goes the same. You know, God can use anybody he chooses. But for me, I didn't want anybody to look at me and point the finger and say, look at her thinking that she's all that. And like I said, I've shared this before, but I want to share it again. The Lord spoke to me one evening on a Wednesday service, and a man was teaching, and he had said, you know, I just ask that you keep me in your prayers because tomorrow I'm going in for back surgery and they're going to fuse my spine together. And the Holy Spirit immediately fell on me, and I began to weep. And of course, if I wasn't walking in that servant covenant, I don't believe this would ever happen. Number one, we have salvation. We enter into the blood covenant. When we open that door, we invite him in. But I'm talking about when we enter into that covenant of love, because it was love that I was feeling in my heart for that man, and compassion. And you can't do that. You can't have compassion and love for others if you're not walking in that covenant with Christ, to enter into love one another, into that blood covenant, into that servant covenant. And I immediately began to weep, and the Holy Spirit fell on me, and he spoke to me, and he said, go lay your hands on that man's back. Of course, I about had a coronary. My face turned blood red, and I immediately just clammed up. I wasn't going to do it. And I sat there for the entire service while this man preached, and I refused to get up out of my seat, and I wept the entire time. I had no clue what he said because the Spirit rested on me so heavily that I could not stop crying because he wanted me to be obedient to him. You know, I felt if I had laid hands on him by myself, then the people would believe I was trying to elevate myself. The Lord was asking me to lay hands on the man. He was pushing me and pushing me. And finally, at the end, I did get up. And I, you know, at the end, when I said, you know, when they dismissed the service, I said, hey, we haven't prayed for him yet. Let's go pray for him. I did lay my hands on his back. He did receive healing. And he told everybody about this. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I go do this thing, and I didn't, I did take the spotlight off myself by having everybody go down there and pray. When God spoke to me and said, go lay your hands on him, God only knows. He's the only one, because I don't know. I wasn't obedient, but he's the only one that knows what could have happened if I would have been obedient at that time. You know, he said to me later on, when I kept worrying about whether or not I was, you know, not listening, what people were going to think, you know, all this stuff. And because of that, he had to correct me. And he does speak to us. So he speaks to us as a friend, whether it's good or it's bad, whether it's for correction or it's for exaltation. And of course, this is going to lift me up, because correction is the greatest form of love. If we don't correct our children, do we love them? We're not showing them love, that's for sure. But the Lord spoke to me that day when I came to this realization. It says, you've made this about you by worrying about what others will think. You know, what a revelation. I made it all about me by thinking I wasn't making it about me, by thinking that these people were going to think, you know, that I thought I was something else. But I was fearful of the people that they would judge me or point the finger at me. So rather than being humble, I was focusing on myself and the opinions of others. And that's exactly what we do. If Jesus could trust me in the small requests he asked me as a servant, how could I enter into a covenant as his friend if I won't be obedient to him, if he can't trust that I'm going to do what he's asked me to do? Here's the good news, though, praise God. Those he loves, he rebukes and chastens. Revelation 3 and 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So repent. And I had to repent. He was simply trying to correct my behavior and call it exactly what it was, selfish disobedience, rebellion. You know how patient he was with me, just to look back on that. What if he tells me to do something and it doesn't happen, is some of the stuff that was going through my head. This was not just fear, though. It was doubt and unbelief. And so here I am thinking that if he asks me to do something and I do it, I'm going to look pretty stupid. So not only am I worrying about what people are thinking about me, and I've made it about myself, thinking that I'm not making it about myself, I'm worried about what people are thinking. And then now I'm doubting that God's going to do it, because I'm still worried about what they're thinking if he didn't. Did you hear what I said? I said, if he didn't. So here's a scripture for all of you that's ever thought this, I want you to dwell on it. It's Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So there's so many elements to this. Let me finish reading. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So first of all, he's saying to not believe that God is going to do something is evil, because unbelief is an evil heart of unbelief. So if God speaks to us and we don't believe him, I mean, look what happened when the angel came down and spoke to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. He clammed up his mouth, zipped it. He couldn't speak or say anything. He couldn't communicate with anybody until the very end, after John was born and his mother Elizabeth named him John. And his father wrote on a pad, this is John, all because he questioned the angel of the Lord. Well, God is saying that if we question what he's speaking to us in our spirit, it's an evil heart of unbelief. But here's even a greater portion in the scripture. Listen, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ. If, there's that word if that people don't like, because it means that there's a clause. It says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. So at the beginning, when we walk in that servant covenant, when we enter into that friendship covenant, when we open that door, when Christ knocked on our hearts and we received him as our Lord and Savior, if we hold fast to the confidence that we had in him, that he did lay down his heart or his life for us, that he did shed his blood and he entered into our hearts. When he knocked on our door, we accepted him unconditionally. No, we didn't have this bitterness and grow that he didn't do this for us or he didn't do that or he didn't uphold his end of the bargain. Excuse me, he laid down his life for us. He stepped in as our Goel Hadin, our Redeemer. He took our place. If he never did another thing, that would be enough for me. That would be enough for any of us. And so we should not enter in and open that door with unrealistic expectations of what God should be doing for us when all we ever do is ask for things. We never want to give anything in return. But as a friend, he's going to share with us exactly what it is that we should be doing. He's going to guide us and he's going to direct us and he's going to show us the path that the Father has for our life. Praise God. So if you're just tuning into the broadcast, you're listening to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Today, we're talking about the covenants of marriage, and more specifically today, the friendship or the salt covenant. So if you'd like to call into the broadcast to contribute to the discussion today, or if you have questions you'd like for me to answer during the break right now, you can call 515-602-9613. And if you call in after the break, you can also, I'll answer your phone calls. So don't worry, go ahead and call in at any time. Again, the number is 515-602-9613. If you have anything you'd like to say or any of your own testimonies that you'd like to give, please feel free to call in right now. Also, if you're watching the live feed, type your comments, your questions into the sections below, and don't forget to let me know what city and country you're watching from. I'll answer your questions live on the air today. So it looks like nobody has any questions on the air, and I hope we're still going. Let me click on this for just a minute. Bear with me. I hope you can. And there we go. Now it's got volume. Okay. All right. So it's still working and I can still see your live feed now. Thank goodness. I'm sorry I haven't been checking YouTube before. All right. Again, the number is 515-602-9613. I'm going to continue on so that we can get through the broadcast without missing anything because I've got much more to share with you. I want to share a story with you that happened when I was working in downtown Memphis, and I was shopping at McDonald's, and I was getting me a cup of coffee. And I had to have my coffee in the mornings back then. This is I don't drink real coffee anymore. It's been almost a year, and this is my third cup of coffee this year. And so today is my birthday, so I thought I would share a cup of coffee with you today. All right. So I was going through McDonald's and I stopped to get a cup of coffee. And this, after I ordered the coffee, the Lord spoke to me after this woman stopped. You know, she told me to pull up and there's nobody in front of me. And the Lord spoke to me and he said to tell her that I love her and I have not forgotten about her. The first thing that went through my mind was, oh my goodness, what if it's not her at the window? What if it's somebody else? What if that was the case? What was it going to look? I mean, the Lord loved her. I mean, thinking about that now, I wouldn't think twice about it. It would be nothing to tell her that. It would be no skin off my, you know, off me. So no skin off my back is how it goes. And I'm telling you what, it's like some of the things today, just trying to think of certain things and losing my words. But as I was getting up there and I was hesitating because I'm thinking again, I'm going to look stupid. So I get up there, I pay for my coffee, they give it to me through the window and I drive off. It happened so quick, just like that, it was finished. There was no going back and being able to change my decision. I mean, just to tell the Lord, I mean, tell this woman that the Lord says, I love you and I haven't forgotten about you, what that would have meant to this woman. what it would mean to me if somebody said that and I was going through a hard situation. I left out of there and I wanted to go turn back so badly. And I thought to myself, well, what if it's not the same person? I missed that opportunity. You know, God wants us to be obedient, but this is still something. It says that he tells his friends. You know, what that really meant, looking back on it, is that Christ was saying that I was his friend. He could trust me as a servant, but now can he trust me as a friend? He was saying I was his friend. He was telling me what the Father was saying, what the Holy Spirit was saying. He was trying to minister to this woman through me. And as a friend, I should have been doing what he's asked me to do. But I didn't. And I cried out to the Lord, please give me a second chance. You know, give me another opportunity to go and speak to this woman. And it was too late. It was extremely painful to come to that realization. And several years later, I was in the middle of a fast, and it's the first time I had ever fasted for such a long time. I was trying to do a 40-day fast. It was the first time I'd ever tried anything like that. And I was on the 10th day of this fast, and I had made Salisbury steak. And I cannot resist Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes, I have to say. And I had to go in and clean up the kitchen. And in my prayer journal that night, I'm laying in my bed by myself. I was reading some books and writing in my prayer journal and just spending time with the Lord. And I was feeling such guilt inside. It was tearing me apart. And it was really devastating. I cried myself to sleep that night. And in my prayer journal, I wrote, it was the Salisbury steak. That was the headline in my prayer journal. And I said to the Lord how disappointed he must have been in me and how I've let him down, that he's just asked me to do this one little thing and I couldn't even abstain from food. And I was just really beating myself up until I cried myself to sleep. And the next morning I got a phone call, and it was from a friend of mine that she had to be at school really early in the morning because she worked for the school system. And she called and she says, look, I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 6. And she says, look, I'm tired of being disobedient to the Lord when he tells me to do something. And she says, he told me to call you. And she goes, and I know you know this already, but he told me to call you and tell you that he loves you. And I said, oh, okay. And I just went back to bed. I was like, okay, like, thank you. And this was a friend of mine named Marissa. And she'll remember this very, very much, because I bring it up all the time. And so I went back to sleep, and later on she called me around 11 o'clock and asked me if I wanted to go have lunch with her. So we met over at Pizza Hut and we were talking, and I was telling her how I had broke my fast and I was crying about it. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that that is why he had her call me and say that he loved me. The Lord said he loved me. I mean, come on. He lays his life down for me. He dies for my sins. He redeems me from hell. But yet he still tells me that he loves me. He's my friend. He loves us. He wants me to tell you that he loves you, that he wants to call you his friend, that he has not forgotten about you. And as I begin to tell her what had happened the night before and how I had cried myself to sleep, and I mean, it just all came together. Here I was going on about our relationship based on my weakness when he died on the cross for me. Now, he was well aware of my inadequacies before he ever chose me, before he called me. You know, as if my, by being my redeemer, you know, wasn't enough. Here he was, just pouring out his love on me all over again. And that's what a friend does. Jesus is concerned with each individual heart. Even a ridiculous, immature servant who thought that he'd be disappointed at her for breaking a fast. Come on. Now, I can't express how much this meant to me. And he should not have to tell us that he loves us. He showed us. Yet he still takes the time to comfort us. Just imagine how that girl at McDonald's would have felt if I would have just taken the time to say the Lord loves you and he has not forgotten about you. I can't condemn myself for not being obedient, for I know he sees our limitations and forgives all of our faults. So let me tell you what Jesus is saying right now to you, that he loves you. He has not forgotten about you, that he desires a relationship with you. He desires a covenant relationship with you, for you to press in and to enter into the fullness of Christ. Amen. So the other thing that I wanted to share with you was about the, and I've shared this in the past about laying hands on people and all the things that we do and still worried about it. It's the same thing that the story that I've shared in the past about not wanting to lay hands on people and how God's asked us to step out. It's no different in that. You know, we're still not being obedient. The women's meeting at the lake, you know, that's another thing that I've told you in the past, that I was not being obedient because I was still worried about what people were going to think. No, I'm not sure how things would have gone if I had continued fighting the Lord every step of the way. But this incident made me realize it has nothing to do with our own ability. We're not able to heal the sick and open the blind eyes or cause a person to speak in tongues. However, if we're obedient and do as he's asked, he's faithful and he'll do the rest. I'm going to read John 15:14-15. It says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." He calls us a friend. He asked me to lay hands on this woman. She was seeking after him. She was seeking to enter into a deeper relationship with him. She couldn't understand why he hadn't baptized her in the Holy Spirit yet. And yet here I am getting ready to pray for these people. And God speaks to me and he says, go lay your hands. Or excuse me, he says, ask if there's anybody here who wants baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was too full of myself still at the time to want to do it. I did it, but it was like pulling teeth. So I did pray for this woman, and the Lord was showing me that it's not about us or what we have to do, because we have no ability in us to do anything outside of Christ Jesus, outside of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, outside the gifts that he has given us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So why would any of this be contingent, anything that he tells us, why would it be contingent upon our own works, upon our own ability? He wants to call us a friend, and he wants to tell us things. He wants to use us, but he can't do that. We're just too busy trying to use him. It's like that worker that I used to hire people, and I would say all the time that I'm looking for owners and not renters, because the owner takes responsibility not just for his own actions and his own things and his own little area, but the owner takes responsibility for everything. The renter, all they're worried about is how much money they're going to get paid. They're only worried about whether or not they get out on time, or if they've done their job, or if they've done all the responsibilities that they had to do, and then they complain about them. Those are renters. Jesus is saying, I don't want renters. I want owners. I want people who are going to step up and take ownership, not just for themselves, knowing that they are going to make it to heaven, that they believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and that he died for us, and that he took our place. But he's asking for us to step up and to tell others, to share that word. And even through example, even if it's for our children, for our neighbors, even if it's being kind and keeping our mouth shut. Do you know one of the greatest messages from the Sermon on the Mount that I ever received was when they said, blessed are the meek. Jesus said, blessed are the meek because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek because they will inherit the kingdom of God. Let me look that up real quick, because I do not want to quote that wrong. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, I was right. It's just that sometimes they say so much, it all starts to run together when it comes to the scriptures and stuff. But blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I thought, I'm never going to inherit the earth because there's not a meek part of me. But he showed me what meekness was really about. And sometimes it's just keeping your mouth shut and not saying the things that you want to say. You know, it's called loving one another and being kind. It's called walking in the spirit. It's called being quiet sometimes when we have so much that we want to say, and the corrections and the point the finger at people. But sometimes we don't need to say, I told you so. So, you know, the question that I have basically to just ask for you today is, are you just a servant? And this is what Christ is asking as well. Are you just a servant, or can Jesus call you a friend? If you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, you need to step back and evaluate your relationship. Now, maybe you're not aware that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today and through us. You know, try talking with him. Search your heart and just begin to praise him. You know, with pure intentions. Just praise him out of your heart. Just fellowship with him. He wants to talk with you and commune with you as a friend and share with you the path that God has for your life. On the other hand, if he spoke to you once before and now it seems you've grown apart, lay aside all the works which has kept you busy and get back to the intimacy you once shared. No, he's still there. If you feel that he no longer speaks to you because of disobedience, then repent and reconcile your relationship with him. Make sure you're listening to him now. It's never too late. If he asked you to do something before, finish what you started. The last time that the opportunity has passed, ask forgiveness and pick up where you left off. It's never too late to listen to the Lord. And if you know you think it's been too late, if you think it's been too long, and the last time you ever heard his voice was when he asked you to do something and you were disobedient, then just repent and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Now, if you've listened to the Lord and you've set yourself apart for his purpose and you no longer hear his voice, then remember what I said about the Kiddushin. You know, the betrothal, the Irushin, the betrothal. The Kiddushin is a time during the betrothal, during the Irushin, to set yourselves apart. Now, what happened when the groom would leave the bride and go off to prepare a place, and she had to prepare herself for the wedding, she had to prepare herself to enter into these covenants, what did I tell you before? I said that there is a quiet time. Very seldom did they speak to each other during that time. And there is a quiet time during this preparation, during this time of sanctification, when he has set you apart. And sometimes all we need to do is just be still and know that he's God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6, 13 through 14. Sometimes, you know, being the most faithful, being in that place where you think that God is using you the most is standing behind the pulpit and speaking or ministering and laying hands on people. But really, it's just that time of quiet, that time of peace, when you sit back in the Kiddushin, you set yourself apart and you wait upon the Lord and you just stand. It is the hardest place you will ever be, because if you're entered, or if you have entered into that friendship covenant and you're used to hearing the Lord's voice speaking to you and telling you what to do and telling you things all the time and answering questions, when you just ask him a question and he answers it right there, and all of a sudden that's cut off, you can't help but think that you've done something wrong. But I'm here to tell you, you're just at that place where he is about to press. I mean, let's say you've yet to enter into that inheritance covenant, or perhaps you've even done that. You're sitting there wondering, what have you done? Has Jesus forsaken you? But we know that that's not true. He would never forsake us. So do you believe he will keep his word? Do you truly believe the promises he made to you? Now's the time to rejoice, for the Lord always keeps his word. And being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus, Philippians 1 and 6. Now's the time to pray and fast. Now's the time to walk in faith. He's your friend. He keeps his word. Now it'll come to pass in his time. Therefore, when we've done all that we can to do, we stand. All right, now I want to get off the subject for just a minute in closing, and I want you to know that today is the State of the Union address, and I believe that it's a very crucial time for our country and for Israel as well as the other nations, because it's pivotal what's going on and what God is doing right now. But he's given me a word a long time ago, and as a matter of fact, let me grab something real quick. I'm sorry. All right. Oops, sorry. Didn't mean to knock that around. I'm going to read this to you real quick. I completely was not prepared to do this, but I want to share this with you because it's very important. It shows where we are right now. At the beginning of my book, my first book, Tell Them I Am Sent Me, this book, God had, instead of a foreword, what I did was I wrote a word that God had given me before I had gone to Israel in 2010. It was my very first trip. I've been there numerous times since then, and God has called me there for specific reasons. But he gave me this word that walked me through. It starts on page 4, and it's at the very beginning, and it's called A Word from My Father, and it's the word that he had given me. And at the very end, he's talking about what's to happen. Each one of these paragraphs that he gave me in this prophetic word it coincided with a part of my life that I had to go through over the last 9 years. And it was extremely painful. But he gave me this word. There's 6 paragraphs in this word that he gave me for 6 different seasons of my life. And here's where we are. We're about to enter into the 7th. But listen, he says, "Do not think for a moment I did not send the righteous in to cleanse the land. It was I am who washed away the arrogance off their face, and I am who have put them to flight." He is talking about the election, and I just shared this here recently with y'all. He says, "Do not think for a moment I did not bring down all their nobles." So keep your eyes on Israel. Pay attention to the breeze and do not take your eyes from the sky, for the story of yesterday, today, and tomorrow is told in Israel. Declare it is finished. Walk through the streets and yell it from the rooftops, for I am the beginning and the end. When I raise my hand, the winds will stop. When I lower my fist, the earth will quake. When I nod my head, the armies will break forth. So do not be concerned for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today, keep your eyes on Israel, for there is where you will see me, the saith Jehovah Nikku. God with you. And I'm telling you, he's saying that to us right now. You know, Trump is about to give the State of the Union address, and it's a very important time in our nation's history and what is going to happen for Christians from here forward. We need to pay attention to this. And the prophecy that I had gave you last week when I interpreted the dream about Abraham Lincoln's feet being on fire, this nation has been set on fire. But we can still stand, and we can still stand together in one accord and one body. And we can pray as a corporate body right now, if you'll spread the word and that you'll minister to the people that are around you as a friend of Christ. We can't sit back and watch our nation burn if we stand for Christ, if we stand, you know, for love. Love, nothing can ever break that bond of love. And when people hate us, if we love them, that love will break down every wall. So I'm telling you right now that we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for Israel, and we need to pray for the nations that God is going to have his way. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will move upon this presidency right now, Father, that you will guide them in all truth and in all righteousness, that you will guide his steps, and that you will fill his mouth with your words in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will bring this country back together in one accord, that you'll break down every stronghold that's in this nation, and you'll lift up a mighty sleeping bride, a mighty giant, Lord, that's going to raise up off the earth, Father, and minister to the nations, and that it'll start right here with us, right here in our own country, in our own states, and in our own houses, in our own families. Father, I pray that you will bring back the spirit of righteousness and pour it out upon these people in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd, that you will bring them in, Lord, that you will bring the increase. I pray for this trip to Israel I'm about to take here in a couple weeks, Lord, that you will bless it, that you will minister to me, Lord, and that you will lift me up and that you will fill me with all the things, Lord, that it is that you have had that you want to do for this country and for the nations. Father, I pray that you will use me and that you will fill me up and that you will pour me out upon your people and those that are still coming in. And I thank you for this, Lord. We worship you and we praise you, God. We ask that you have your way, Lord, that we want to release your hands that the enemy has bound because we have not spoken your words. And the enemy has bound you if we do not allow you to speak, if we do not speak, if we do not pray. We keep your hands bound, and therefore the enemy is able to bind us. And so I release these binds and these chains, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you will release your warring angels to go forth on our behalf, that you will release your ministering angels to go forth on behalf of your body, on behalf of your bride. Send them forth, Lord, and remove the blinders off their eyes that they would receive this word in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you, Father, for allowing righteousness once again to have a voice. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to lift these people up that's been in the trenches, that's been in the wilderness, that's been behind the veil, that's been behind the curtain, that has not spoke, Lord, that has not shown their voice in the name of Jesus, that has not shown that they even have a voice, but that you will fill their mouth, Father, and pour them out. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for the increase, and we thank you for this nation that we have the freedom to, for me to even get on here and to speak, let alone anybody else to have free speech, that Father, that everything that you have allowed us to do, Lord, will pour out upon the nations through us as we stand up and we wake up and we see what we truly have and what we can truly lose. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Stay tuned in for tomorrow's broadcast where I'm going to continue this series with the Inheritance Covenant. If you've been walking around broken, busted, and disgusted, then this message is for you. However, if you've been walking in the blessings that of God, you serve the Lord with all your heart, and you can call, he can call you a friend, then this message is for you as well, because there's one more covenant he desires for us all to step into. And this is going to be much different than what you expect. To show up, to show us your support, please follow me on Facebook and YouTube. And join me at wbocradio.org, where you'll be updated with the latest news and events. I can be reached at talk@wbocradio.org, 931-563-3377, and you can write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. We'll be back on the air Wednesday, February 6th. Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio, and remember, you are the Bride of Christ.